allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. It's our monthly township meeting at 9 a.m. on June 11th. Do we have any public comment? No comment from the four-legged friend?
Mind you going out? Or you mind on the sheriff's report? Doesn't matter to me.
Since he's here, go right ahead, if you'd like.
This is Skylar Strabeck. He's our brand new canine handler. I'm just letting him introduce Deputy Brooke to you, so.
Hello, Deputy Skylar Strabeck. I've been with Sheriff's Office now since 2013. I started my career here on the Marine Division, went to Road Patrol in 2015, and then was assigned to the canine unit in summer of 2018. In September 2018, I got Bricko, and Bricko had been here in America for about 4 hours when I got him, and he came from Poland, so he's a Polish-German Shepherd.
Thank you.
Why is his name Bricko?
From there, we spent the weekend getting to know each other, and we went to our basic canine handling school down in Eaton Rapids called Mid-Michigan Police Canine, where I spent 5 weeks learning how to be a dog handler and working as a team with a police dog. Some of Bricko's skills include narcotics detection. He has trained the odors of marijuana, he has no imprinting on marijuana, trained in methamphetamine, ecstasy, heroin, and cocaine. So due to the new legislature with marijuana being legal, he's only trained in those four narcotics and doesn't recognize marijuana, which makes him a very useful dog here in Antrim County. He's also trained in tracking, so he can track missing and endangered children, missing elderly, as well as, suspects fleeing from police custody. Also trained in article search, so if someone were to throw a gun out in the field, a knife, article of evidence, he can go out in that field and he can find it for us based on the human odor left on the article. He's also trained in building search, so if this building were to be broken into and we weren't sure if someone was inside, Deputy Bricko can be sent inside to go find if someone is inside, thus saving risk of injury to officers, including Rio Rapids officers and deputies and myself. If he can access or has access to a person that's inside a building, he will detain that person until I can get there. If he doesn't have access to that person, let's say they're hiding in that closet, he will go to that closet and he will bark, letting me know that dad or someone.
Aaron, you got his attention.
No, still. I promise you, I don't hurt his feelings by talking sternly to him. Believe it or not, he is trained in obedience and certified. Important that he listens to me. He's also trained in suspect apprehension and handler protection. So if a criminal suspect was fighting with me and or another officer or deputy in the county here, Deputy Bricko could be deployed to assist us in that matter. When we were about a month and a half out of school, our basic canine school, he was deployed to do a exterior vehicle sniff. He gave indication that that vehicle is a passive indicating dog, which means that he sits when he smells narcotics. Yep, you're one. He's fired up. I conducted a search of that vehicle and found 1.5 grams of cocaine contained in cellophane, contained in a cigarette pack. No, still. Good boy. Contained in a cigarette pack, contained in a purse, located between the driver's and passenger side seat of that vehicle.
Wow.
And he gave indication from the outside of the vehicle. So if that doesn't tell you how useful canine is and in law enforcement, I don't know what else I can say. I think he's going to be a great asset here in the county for the residents of Bantam County, and we're excited to be working around here and excited to work with her. Oh, what's that? This is his favorite thing in the world. This is what he works for. This will work for him. Believe it. Sit. Say. A little obedience. It's kind of, this vest is new. So, stay, sit, boy. This vest is new, so he's not quite used to moving in it. He's not quite used to his downs in it. He doesn't like to go down in it. No, down, boy. That's it. Heel. Heel.
Talk about the cocaine from.
I did.
Oh, you did, I'm sorry. I was in the middle of an email with something else.
Oh, down. Whoa, boy. Good boy.
Is that body armor?
It is. He doesn't let go without command. We go, boof! Good boy. Go heel. Heel. Watch. Still. Good still. Once you get them to start barking on command, you reward them when they be quiet. Any questions about the Amp County K-9 program or about Deputy Bricko? Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a card with your name and the dog's name so that I can include it in my
Absolutely.
Minutes? I would love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're very excited to be working here in Antrim County. I can't tell you how useful a K-9 program is. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, got no problem fighting with the police, got no problem fighting with me. I'm 5'6", you know. But they don't want to fight with no dog. So I don't think we'll ever really know how many issues that he prevents by me just showing up on a scene or showing up on someone else's scene. We solve a lot of problems with just his presence.
Are you on call 24/7?
I am. So I will come out day or night for whatever the county's needs may be.
Can he detect like a bomb or something? Or
no, I get a lot of questions like that. His brother actually was in my same canine class, and he's a dog for Tuscola County. And he is trained in bomb detection and not narcotics detection. The reason why is if he indicates on cocaine, marijuana, or cocaine, methamphetamine, ecstasy, or heroin, he can't tell me which thing he's indicating on, just that, hey, Dad, there's some narcotic in there. Now, if he were trained to indicate on bombs, which he could be taught to do so, you know, you're detailing a car, sniffing a car, and he sits, you know if you're going to open the door and it's going to go boom, or you're going to find the mother load of drugs. So that's why you wouldn't cross-train a dog for bombs and drugs.
And what does he do when he finds the drugs? Bark, or?
He sits. So he's a passive indicating dog.
No.
So there's typically two kinds of indicating dogs in the police world, and that's passive and aggressive. So aggressive indicating dog, he doesn't let go. I go, boost! Nail boost! Good boy. Sit. I go, boost! Maybe.
The tongue.
It's a tease.
I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
No. What type was? What does he do when he locates the drug?
Yeah, he sits. An aggressive indicating dog would scratch or bite at the presence of an odor. Passive is nice because, you know, you don't have people complaining that the side of their car was scratched up, or their cabinet was ripped off. Because these dogs are very high drive dogs, and that's what we want in a police dog. You know, we don't want a dog that's going to roll over and say, "Nah, I'm done. I'm not up to the challenge today, Dad. I don't want to go to work." You want a dog that's ready to go. You want a dog that's excited to go to work. You know, so.
So how do you actually locate it once you realize it's in the car? Will he go to it? Oh, you search it.
Yep, his indication on a V vehicle is Boost. Boost. Boost! His indication on the vehicle is probable cause to search that vehicle. So at that point, the whole vehicle is subject to search. Now, we could go to the extent of taking the car into the mechanic shop and taking it down to Bolts at that point.
If you were
I get a call from my boss, though.
But if you're walking through a school system and you would, he would stop?
At a locker, yep.
Okay. He'll narrow it down to a area.
Yep, to a locker. Usually if he's gonna, if he were to indicate at one locker, you'd want, you know, the one next to it, the one that he indicated at, the one next to that, you know, on either side. But at that point, that's an administrative search, so that would be, K-9 Brico indicated the locker 677. I would tell the school liaison officer, and they would tell the school, because the school can search any one of the lockers. Based on law enforcement, we would need a warrant, but the school does not. Very useful tool, though. I'm very excited to have them in the schools. I'm very excited to be doing presentation with the kids around Antrim County, and very excited to be out using them. So he's already, for a young dog only being 22 months, he's already got an arrest under his belt for cocaine, which is darn good. And he typically trains with an ounce of product, so we use real drugs to train that we get from the federal government. And there's 28.33 grams in an ounce. So he typically sees an ounce of product, which is still a relatively small amount of product, but he indicated on a gram and a half.
Wow.
So, very useful tool in law enforcement. Obviously, this is cool, isn't it?
Trish, do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you. You answered one. I wondered how old he was. How long would you expect him to be in your employment?
The Antrim County Sheriff's Office has a policy in place that dogs will retire at 9 years of age.
Okay.
So barring any injury or something
like that. And what would be some of the common ways, people knowing that you have a canine dog and what it's trained for, how would they try to evade detection?
Well, a lot of times we see on movies, you know, the drug-related action movies, you see the bit of cocaine that's about this big, you know, big bundle. Typically your product inside may be about this big. And what they do is they wrap it in, you know, plastic wrap, they put mustard on it, hot sauce on it. They'll put Brico cup. Yeah. Brico. Yeah, he likes to show off his ball, so don't be alarmed if, you know, no one in here seems to be afraid of dogs. Yeah. Brico! You know, they'll put mustard on it, hot sauce on it, all sorts of distractor odors to try to throw the dog off. And doesn't work, because what dogs do is they discriminate odor. So if we were to smell like a pizza, be like, all right, it's pizza, that smells good. You know what pizza smells like. The dog's gonna smell every aspect of pizza. He's gonna smell the garlic, he's gonna smell the oregano, the tomato base for the tomato sauce. He's gonna smell all of it. But if he's trained only to indicate on olives, and there were olives on that pizza, he would indicate on the pizza based on he smells olives. Now, if there wasn't olives on that pizza, he's not going to indicate on it, because there's no olives on it. So that's, again, where a dog's sense of smell is extremely useful in that. In that, when there is those types of distractor odors that the bad guys put in place to try to throw law enforcement off, the dog works through those odors and targets the odor they're trained to indicate on, methamphetamine, heroin, ecstasy, and cocaine.
I'm curious, why did you have to get the dog from overseas?
That's where our master trainer down in Eaton Rapids, he actually picks the dogs for us. That's Mike Morgan with Mid-Michigan Police K-9. He works with a kennel called Lucas K-9 over there. You look him up on YouTube. Very interesting video on some of the dogs that they put out there. Very good video. That's the kennel vendor that he uses. But even, your American kennels over here are importing their dogs from overseas.
Okay.
The use of canines in law enforcement and the use of canines in the military is a really relatively has a relatively short history for the U.S. as compared to Europe. So Europe's been using dogs for a long time, and actually them being implemented in the law enforcement and the military was kind of brought back from World War II, and the American GIs going overseas and seeing European militaries using and deploying very well-trained attack dogs, very well-trained dogs for their uses. So they kind of brought it over from World War II era, and then we started implementing it in the law enforcement and the military then. So you're going to find your bloodlines for military and police work longer standing overseas than what you would in America anyways. So it's certainly not to say that there isn't, you know, bloodlines in America that aren't useful in law enforcement, but a lot of your American dogs anyways are imported to kennels.
Now, are you guys the only canine unit?
We are. Yep, we're the only canine unit in Antrim. Kalkaska does not have a canine unit. Otsego doesn't have a canine unit. And as far as I know, we're the only dog that is not imprinted on marijuana. So a lot of your state police dogs, I think they're trying to rotate it out. Replacing the marijuana imprinted dogs. Because when you have a dog that's been, you know, that's 5-6 years old, that's been indicating on marijuana for that long, and then all of a sudden you tell them no, the dog's you confuse the dog. So not to say that they're not useful for apprehension and not useful for search warrants and stuff, but we're going to be moving towards, you know, no dog being imprinted on marijuana. So we're pretty hot commodity.
Are they calling you? Will you cross county lines to go work for them?
Yep. So I can, then that's a wonderful thing that the Sheriff's Office allows me to do here is if Kalkaska County, Otsego County, Charlevoix County, anywhere really in the state of Michigan, if they needed assistance with a canine track, a missing and endangered person, Alzheimer's patient, suspect, I can be deployed to assist them.
What does a dog like that cost today?
Sheriff?
Yeah.
that dog was done on an endowment. If you remember back, we did that through Matt Davis. He's on an organization with Grant Travers, Antrim, Wilma. I think there's one other county involved in that. That dog bought an endowment, and that dog was $15,000. And then if you remember right, history-wise, the dog got hit by a car. We actually ended up losing the dog, and our deputy knew what happened with that as time has gone on. And Mark did a nice job with it also. And then we were able to get some insurance for the dog. The master trainer, Mike, was able to give us some leeway in that also. He handled part of that money also. So we were able to get this dog almost, again, for, I want to say free. Somebody paid for it. I don't know what that was. But initially, those dogs were about $15,000.
Does anyone have any other?
Some of these obedience routines, just simple downs, comes, stays, sits, you know, just solidifies him listening to me. And it solidifies, it's also mentally exhausting for Bobby, isn't it?
What would he do if you're on the street with him and he smells that on somebody's eye?
Well, in America, we can't search people with a dog. But if someone were to be walking by with an ounce of cocaine in their pocket, he might show a head snap. So
what's that?
Dogs, when they start to work odor, as we call it, will snap their head in the direction that they smell the odor. Their mouth will go closed and they'll start using their nose. And each dog's a little bit different as to when they start working odors. So my dog kind of has a wag in his tail up top, and his nose will go up, and it'll start to zigzag. So basically, if there was cocaine in that cabinet over there, it would have meant like an odor point. Okay, so the strongest odor being at the cabinet, and then based on the wind flow of this room, the cone would come out from there, and you'll see the dog zigzag. Okay, it's not strong over here, he'll zigzag back here. Okay, it's strong over here, it's not strong, strong. We go back until source. So you probably see him do a head snap in the direction of that person, and he might try to, you know, get to that odor, get to the source. But that would be something that I can't do based on the Constitution.
But he's a sit indicator.
Yep.
So he'd sit.
Yep.
He, instead of try to, you know, grab the pocket of the person.
Yep. And because I can't search or sniff a person based on the Constitution, it wouldn't be something that he would be allowed to do. I think the only exception to that would be a jail search, because you go to jail and you lose your search rights.
So you don't hang out at concerts?
Yeah. But anything else is pretty much fair to be searched.
And as far as the citizen reacting to the dog, he's a deputy, so any assault on the dog.
Yep, it's just to tease him or manipulate him in any way, it's you can go to jail. So if someone were to, you know, be aggressive to the dog, kick at the dog, you're going to jail. Because there's my buddy. It is a little bit different, the laws as far as, and when I went to canine school, I thought that the law was the same as killing a police officer. Laws are different in concerning dogs. It's not the same as a homicide. It doesn't carry the same punishment, but to kill a police dog in the line of duty, I don't think in the line of duty is specified, but to kill a police dog, I believe, is a 15-year felony. And I believe to injure a police dog is a 10-year felony. Off the top of my head, I could be a little wrong, but very, very protected by the law. It's my job as the handler to expose him to as many new environments as I possibly can so that he is more prepared when we go out and work in the real world. And I'm very dedicated to that. There's one thing that I hope you all can take away from my presentation here of him is that I'm extremely passionate about being a law enforcement officer, and I'm extremely passionate about everything I do, including my buddy. He lives all at home with me. So we go to work together, we live together, and not, I can't say every day, but most every day I'm spending an hour to 3 hours exclusively a day with him, training him, interacting with him. But I'm very passionate about this program, I'm very passionate about being a dog. Something I always wanted to do. Never wanted to do anything else but be a police officer. So I wasn't a kid that grew up that wanted to be a race car driver one day and an astronaut the next. I always wanted to be a police officer. As I move forward in my career, I've always wanted to be a canine. I'm very excited. I say passionate. I think Sheriff says obnoxious sometimes. the drive I have to succeed. This is all of your dog. He's your dog. I'm just the guy that has the pleasure to work with him. We're a team. So he's at your disposal. He's at your, you know, he works at your brother, Carl James Fox.
If I tried to call him to me, would he come?
He might. But if I call him back to me, most likely he's going to come.
Great try.
Huh? he's very driven by his toy. He's not one that is obnoxious and peppy. He wants something to do, and again, that's what we want as a police dog.
Right. I wouldn't think you want somebody to be able to call him.
A lot of questions I get is, you know, his out command or his command to let go is in a different language. Pick up. Good boy. Obviously, no, Pickle, come. No, come! No, come. No, come! Obviously, you gotta talk to him. You mean business. I'm dead, I'm alpha dog. So, I promise you I'm not hurting his feelings by talking loudly to him. But, yeah, you want a dog to live that. Again, very excited. Very excited. He's gonna do good work. You're gonna see him in lots of parades, you're gonna see him around town, on sidewalks. I plan on being very involved. This is a great building, by the way, for searches, for training. I've been to several other townships now and made presentations, and they've been very gracious in providing me keys to the building. Obviously, we here in the Sheriff's Office have access to the building. We do our best not to let people jump on your desks and disturb your paperwork by no means. So, this is a great complex building for searching.
If he doesn't search out chocolate, we're good.
No, he doesn't search out chocolate.
Can you search out the dog biscuits we have on the counter?
Or donuts.
Yeah.
Or donuts.
He might show interest in it, and you know, if he was allowed to, he might take a couple bites out of it. But, and certainly, if he's on task searching for a person, he's searching for a person. But ultimately, that's his real reward. The reward is to get to that person. So I appreciate the use of your building here. Like I said, we'll try our very best to not let him knock papers off. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
We're lucky to have you. Thank you.
Well, I'm very very happy to be here. I don't know if you guys are a John Cusack fan, but I am. But seen the movie Serendipity? Anybody?
Yeah.
All right. You know that quote of the movie where the Greeks didn't write obituaries. They only asked one thing when a man died: did he have passion? So that's how I try to live my life.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I would like your card, though, Skylar, if you got a minute.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Dogs and babies. I'm good.
What's that?
So dogs and babies. People bring them into our office. Stops.
He's gonna have a brother here come August. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Very excited. Good boy. All right.
Well, with that being said, do we have any other public comment? Not hearing any, we'll move on. Approval of the meeting agenda. Do we need anything changed? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Make a motion to have the consent agenda as is.
Support.
Okay, we have a motion, we have support. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda. I'm sure everyone's looked at it. Is there anything that needs to be changed on that? If not, I'd entertain a motion on that as well.
I move to accept the consent agenda. I'll support.
Okay, we have support. We'll do a roll call vote whenever you're ready.
Roll call, Holtz.
Yes.
Eisenhart.
Yes.
Szymanski.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisbert, yes.
Motion carries. We have a full board today. We'll move on to sheriff and commissioner report. We've got the lead sheriff already, so now we'll have the backup.
Just a couple of things real quick before I go into your normal numbers. I put on your packet there, Smart 911. This is just a flyer I found
I thought it was a little more self-explanatory than what was there before, and we talked about it, so, yeah, you got it, okay. So if there are any questions, we talked about, you got smart911.com.
Oh, thank you.
And we're able to get in, you can access, you can put anything you want into that program, and if you call 911, once that's all implemented, all that automatically populates, so our dispatch knows what's going on pretty much within your life. That is very secure. It is done nationally, depending on whether or not both certain counties and also certain communities have that in their program. We opted into it about 2 years ago. We're just starting to really get some people signing up for it. So,
does that work for fire too?
Yeah. Whatever you call, it's actually triggered from your phone number. So whatever phone you're using, you call, it'll set that up where you can put in your pets, all that kind of stuff. They're in the house, whatever it is.
Yeah, I've done it. I've got.
Yeah. So it does trigger that also. Yes. Stat wise, I just compared May of 2019 back to May of 2018. 911 checks, you were down by 6. You had 10. 2018 of May, you had 16. Some of the others, animal control complaints, you had any in May of 2018. May of 2019, you had 5. Medical calls were down by a little bit. You had 12 last year. You had 8 May of 2019. Traffic stops were up. You had 17. You had 9 last year. Total calls of service were 61. 2018, they were 59. So you're up a couple. Personnel-wise from the office, we had a corrections officer resign. He's going in to work on drones. Where that passion comes from. He's going in to work with drones, so we're short one at corrections. I'm still actually down 3 on the road. We have one out with a bad shoulder. I just had surgery here not long ago. I don't know when that's going to be back. The commissioners were very gracious to give us an extra person, which we haven't been able to add on for the last, we haven't added on in 25 years. But with that problem, we had one of our road patrol resigned and went to work for another county. So I have a new guy on that we, first time we've ever sponsored somebody to go to school, because we're struggling to find the people that we feel are qualified for what we want for our county. So with him still and now in training, I think it just put down 3 right now to road patrol. But overall, it's been going well with that. Dispatch, we're only down 1 now. We got a gal that's been on about 22 weeks. I'm hoping that she doesn't get already revved up and leave. We've made past the hardest part of it. Now it's just getting her to fine-tune her skills with the radio and phone calls. So we're working on that in that direction also. So hopefully we're up to speed on that. Animal control, bear with us. We just hired a full-time gal. Carrie Zanarecki had resigned and left. We've been short since about March. Ingle Waldrop's been the one that's been kind of holding down the fort with what's going on. So we just hired a gal out of Bel Air that just started about a week ago. So we're back to a whole other training issue with it. So it's that we're working with now. We are still looking for a part-time person to replace Nancy Rodriguez. So I have to say overall it's gone well, but personnel is still an issue. Marine Patrol, we've hired 5 seasonal, and we're geared up for our wonderful 4th of July Torch Fest. So we'll see how that plays out this year. It will be different this year compared to other years for a lot of reasons with the marijuana law and stuff that's out there. So, but anyway, bear with us. If you have any problems or any questions, please give myself a call. We'll see if we can't get a straight out for you.
Well, your 4th of July comments led me to 2 questions. I've already been approached about one. Is on the fireworks. Is there anything different on fireworks than what we know today?
Not really. The communities are allowed to write their own firework rules now. I saw, or I heard, I didn't read it. I heard where, I think it's Emmett County or Petoskey area. I don't know why they did what they did, but they wrote different timelines. And one of them said midnight, or 1 o'clock, or one of their townships did like 11:45. So I don't know what that issue is going to show yet. I'm kind of watching to see what's going to happen with it. It hasn't changed a lot. except that it has allowed the communities to write, to kind of change what they want, where the old law, the one prior, had not done that.
If we were to write an ordinance, would you be able to enforce it?
If it's under the ordinance, what I would ask you to do, that would be up to Jim Rossiter, because then you end up using your own attorney to deal with that. I have asked before, if you're going to do that, try it, and I know this is going to be a difficult thing, but trying to get 15 townships to write the same timeline, the same ordinances, is what I would ask would happen. Because otherwise, just for example, if Elk Rapids says it's midnight, and Banks Township says it's 10:30, it becomes very problematic for us. And then if you get Jim to look at that as a county ordinance thing, or somewhere, he would enforce it. If not, you know, your local attorney would be involved, and we could have that conversation.
Well, is that something that would stem from the township board? Would we want to get a hold of Jim and just ask him if we could be part of a county ordinance?
Yeah, I would ask. Because it's going to have to come from either him or your attorney to do the prosecution part of that.
Then the next question on that is, today, could you just give us a quick reminder as to what the rules are?
Well, most of the rules still fall into the day before, the day of, and the day after. That has changed some. I don't know what that is, but it's just brand new legislature just changed. The issue that makes it problematic for us is getting who's letting them off, because under law, at that point, you have to get... because it is approved, you have to get exactly who's right lighting them off. Where the past law was, it was illegal, period. So mm-hmm. If it was coming from Bill Dermott's house, we just went for the homeowner. Now it's getting someone who's lighting them off becomes problematic for us, which is what law enforcement has been totally adamant that becomes problematic for us, for the communities that we serve, and trying to get that done. But that's what we would do. We still go on the calls. We still try to get the fight, and the problem is by the time we get somewhere, usually fireworks are done, and we're still chasing our tail trying to figure out who it is. But
technically, if someone's lighting fireworks off a week or two prior to the holidays, it's illegal.
Yes.
Okay. And what would be the proper follow-up to call you folks?
Just to call us. Okay. We'll still send a car. We'll still try to locate them. We try to do it. If we can't figure out for sure, we'll stop, and I know my guys have had the conversations, try to be neighborly, stop being stupid. And that's the way I can put it. You know, why are you lighting fireworks at 2 in the morning anyway? I mean, I understand they're a lot of fun. I understand 10 to 11, it starts to get dark, all the pretty colors and everything goes off. But when you get past that 12 o'clock hour, I think that we're not being neighborly with things, and I think that's what we got to deal with.
Seems reasonable. I mean, 12 o'clock is a reasonable time.
Like I say, Emmett County or some of their townships just I just heard with one of the radio, and I don't know why they fluctuated those hours like that. It's only within 15 or minutes or half an hour of what they've done. It was 12:15 or midnight. One of the townships said, no, we want 11:45. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's an enforcement problem.
It could be, Dan. Nothing. This is a summary from Grand Traverse 911. It says the new statute, the new state law update will make using fireworks legal on no local ordinance can supersede this law. These days and times are protected. Be sure to check with your local township for more detailed ordinance. For the 4th of July, it's June 29th to July 4th until 11:45 p.m. Also, July 5th, only if the day is a Friday or Saturday until 11:45.
Really? Well, I've had a lot of questions because I don't think everyone understands that it's illegal.
That's a whole new deal that I haven't heard yet, and I apologize, but I don't. That one there, the other one was even more stricter. Now, like I say, Emmett just did it. I'm sure it's Emmett County. I already did that. So maybe their township's in.
They can be stricter, but I can't, you know, on July 4th, I can fire them off by state law till 11:45, okay? They can say, you know, there's also available for the whole month of July, with penalties on it. But these are protected.
And one of the questions I've had several times is it legal to fire them off on Arbor Days in your private residency?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to be clear, because
it's not. I mean, that's been the issue all along, especially when they changed the laws and went to these two-inch mortars and all this stuff that's happened. You know, little bottle rockets and stuff, people get upset. Now they're getting...
And the problem you're having is people not taking consideration. You have a lot of veterans in this area with the PTSD that we all hear about nowadays. These veterans literally go under the couch because they totally believe they're back in this scenario. And that's the problem that nobody wants to get. It's not so much that it's just about the noise because you're being unable. It's about the veterans and other things that happen that you don't take consideration for sometimes.
Well, that, what you just spoke to, Bill, that's only for the 4th of July. It's the only holiday they're recognizing.
Oh, no. There's
all national holidays.
There's a whole
all national.
You questioned that.
Okay.
That was a question, though.
I'll give you a copy.
No, I would like that because it's amazing how all of a sudden we're getting near the 4th of July and that question's coming up a lot.
Oh, yeah, it happens. But if you really look at your stats, overall, I mean, the last couple of years there's kind of been more of it, but there really hasn't been. There's been a few of the fireworks complaints.
Yeah, it's gotten better.
But it's gotten better. That's what I believe to do instead. I think part of it's just letting neighbors understand. You've got to be neighborly somewhat. There's an old John Wayne saying, I always like to use it, that we have to be neighbors, but we don't have to be neighborly. The issue isn't there anymore. I mean, we do have to be neighborly. We have to work with each other, and you look at what we're doing in society. So I think it is time that people step up and start being neighbors. I mean, that's what we got to get back to.
The other question I had is, what's changed in the marijuana? I know you and I have had a lot of discussions on that, and I know there's been some changes recently.
There's nothing clear-cut in the law yet. I was talking to Bill about it earlier. You know, there's still nothing clear-cut on driving. There's still the misnomer out there that you can smoke dope in public. That is not true. You cannot smoke dope in public, and we're going to probably go to task on that with the sandbar. I'll be honest with you up front. I've been enough vocal about it that I'm probably the one that's going to step out from the local areas and say, had enough, write everybody a ticket, we'll take it to the Supreme Court. Jim Rossiter's already said that he, you know, he'd back that and go forward. So we can get some answers on how the heck we're going to deal with this problem at hand. You know, Rooker was in here, we didn't have him been targeted on marijuana because of the problem we're going to have. And I don't want to hit on marijuana when it's other stuff and not knowing what we're getting into. That's why we kind of did that with the imprinting, without imprinting him on marijuana. You know, I don't have an answer because nobody has challenged it yet. There will start, I'm sure, in some of these local areas, especially up here. I know I've talked to Pat White for a little bit. Chuck Vonders is very much against it. So one of us, I'm sure it's going to be Northern Michigan that will do the challenge. I doubt very much Wayne County and Shiawassee and the others are going to get that stuff that far out because, and some of the prosecutors are divided. I really haven't been to a sheriff's conference in the last year, so I don't know how that's going yet. I know our association was against it at the beginning of it, but there's always that fine line split with different people. Everybody has a different personality to it. Sheriff Vonder and I know Pat Whiteford are pretty adamantly against it. So we'll see. I really believe the sandbar is going to be our
the test.
It is still a civil infraction, but somebody's going to get all bent out of shape and write the ticket, and then we'll just fight it all the way up until we get an answer from somebody that can say you're right or you're wrong. And I'm okay with either way, as long as somebody else is telling me that. So.
Agreed. Now, just from a reminder, all the townships in your county have elected to say no, correct?
All our townships have elected out. There is some pressure on a couple of local villages trying to get the CBD oil and some other things involved. The CBD oil is out of a whole different plant issue that's out there, which is hemp. And that's at a zero, or at a 0.3 or something below it. Bill and I have talked. And, you know, there's a whole different issue between that and smoking dope. And that's what you can't get through to a lot of the general public. You know, we've talked just for years about how bad secondhand smoking, that I'm going to sit in my house or in my car and smoke dope and have that secondhand going to my children. And that's a part of my issue with it. I don't know if that answered it, if I get on a soapbox, I don't mean to.
Well, I was at a concert this past weekend, and you could definitely smell the presence. It was a little different than what I'd expected.
The article with the sandbar is still going to, I had a conversation with somebody. I'm on my boat, that's my private property, you can't touch me. I think that's a crock. I think that you are out in public. I don't believe that's your same curl as you have with your car or your house, because it's open. And I believe that. And again, I just let somebody else tell me I'm wrong. I'm okay with it.
Does the board have any other questions for Dan?
Can I leave these out front in the conference?
Sure.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.
We'll move on. Ambulance Department.
Okay, for the month of May, we had for the Elk Rapids Township and the village, there was a total of 17 runs, and of those 17 runs, 15 people were transported. 10 from the village and 5 from the township.
I haven't personally spoken with Steve, so I didn't have anything to add to that. When is the next meeting, Mike?
The week after 4th of July.
Okay. Any questions on MMR? We'll move on. Fire Department.
Good morning, Ken Williamson.
Fire Chief. We were dispatched to 8 incidents in May. The breakdown's on the back there. A fairly uneventful May. Did have our first water rescue call the other day. So, guys out there, got to get out there in that 48-degree water in their kayak. Just amazing. Staff still at 20 people, so we're looking good there. The next item there, a quote from Sharon Plumbing and Heating to put in a ventilation fan. As you may or may not be aware, cancer is a really big issue in the fire service right now. And actually, it's code for new buildings that you have to have some sort of system to capture the diesel exhaust from the trucks in the station. We did have an incident where all the trucks started up and it did set the carbon monoxide detector off in the station. So that kind of raised the awareness. And so what we're looking at doing is putting an exhaust fan up in the peak of the roof over there. So when the trucks start, the fan automatically comes on. So like I said, I got a quote for that. So it's a bit more than I thought it was going to be. And so we may have to look at that for next year. We're also looking at another couple of options, another device to work in there. And we're also getting the makeup air looked at in there as well, because it shouldn't be, the furnace system should not be drawing makeup air from the upstairs area in order to circulate it to set that alarm off downstairs. So we're having that looked at as well. SCBA compressor, we're still working on that. The pump tests were completed. Trucks are working well. SCBA maintenance, that's our air packs. The software on the company that tests it went down in the middle of the test, so we're waiting for them to bring their computer back so we can get that finished up. We're going to have a few bottles that have to be hydro-tested this year, but it's not a major expense, so it's only about $25 a bottle. We did train with Whitewater last month out at the training center. We did some search and rescue practice and ladders and roof practice, and we're going to train with them again this month on water rescue. Probably meet down at Whitewater Township Park and do a combined practice there. We've got the active shooter class coming up next week on the 19th. And we did start planning with Sherry Harbor Days fireworks plans, so everything's going pretty well. Any questions?
Board have anything further? Okay. Thanks, Ken. Move on to HRTHA. Not seeing any. Well, Dick, do you have anything new on HRTHA?
We've got one quote on the masonry. I've got a meeting tomorrow morning with another masonry contractor for the immediate repair. And I believe that Jim Lundy and I are going to take down the metal fire stair sometime when Mr. Lundy is in the mood. But the masonry is going to be $6,000 to $10,000, I'm sure, one way or the other, depending on what final scope we decide to do.
Is there any timeline on when they want to do that?
Whenever we can, whichever contract we finally decide to go with, when he can get there.
Okay.
It's not going to happen probably within 60 days just because of workload this time of year.
Okay. Anything further on HRTHA? Okay, we'll move on. Assessing, we have Carlene here. If she'd like to step up, and what I'm going to say is we have a contract with Mike Hauserman. We're reappraising properties, and what I want her to explain what the definition for non-taxable parcels are, because I'll take that one because I did not identify that when we did the contract with Mike, and it was something that's brought up, and it's somewhere near 100 parcels, but I want Carlene to explain why we need to probably add these parcels to the ongoing appraisal work.
Part of the AMAR, which is the audit that the State Tax Commission does, that's one of the things that they're focusing on, are tax-exempt properties. They're finding that in some townships there are exempt properties that maybe should not be exempt. So doing this in the reappraisal and adding the exempt properties is kind of a way to audit that for the assessor to look at to determine. A lot of times these tax-exempt properties, for example, something might be owned by the township, however the township is leasing it out. That should not be a tax-exempt property. And that is basically the reason why. And the nice thing about it is that the gentlemen that are doing the data collection, it'll be consistent with all the data that we have in the system, the process, and with me entering it all in there. So when people are going through and they're looking at this data online, it is all consistent with one another.
And you might explain to everyone how far along we are on that as
They got out early this year, so they've completed 900 parcels so far. So they pretty much fulfilled their end of the contract for this year. However, they did approach Dorrance and say that, you know, if possible, if they wanted that, or if we wanted them to come back in the fall, they could probably hammer out some more.
Well, and then I spoke with Mike, and I think, Mike, we had budget for a few more.
Yes.
Yep, so we've responded back that depending on how many they're looking at, that we would like to. But I would like the board to understand that we're going to need to add an additional 100, am I correct, 100 parcels?
For the exempt properties.
For the exempt properties.
And which, it's beneficial for the townships, too, to have the data in the system so they know what, you know, is out there.
I'm not trying to hold you to a number, but what do you think with the non-tax parcels and the other parcels left, how many parcels do you envision we have left?
I would say probably about 950 altogether. Okay.
And that would be the 100 mm-hmm. with. So what I was hopeful for is we could get another couple hundred done now, this fall, and then next spring being able to wrap it up. Because we do have a two-year commitment with Mike on that project, but we did not add these other 100 parcels. So I don't know if, Bill, do I need a motion to add those to that?
Was it a budgetary item for this year, or how did you approve the 900 parcels?
Well, we
was
did
it negotiated, or was it there a motion on it?
There was we made a motion, and we moved to, it was a two-year agreement, total amount of parcels, but it did not include this 100 parcels extra.
And I think you should make a motion on it, that be included in the permit.
I know currently I've talked to them, but I haven't shared this with the board. They've indicated that they would hold the pricing the same mm-hmm. as what they've done, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just want to be...
And not that I want to push this, but I don't want to lose them. They do such a great job collecting the data. Because they collect everything. You know, a lot of the assessors, they don't measure out the concrete and the fencing and all that stuff. And it's up to me whether it's taxable or not, but at least it's out there and it's on the sketch and it's on the roll. And it helps for zoning, and it's a useful tool.
I would also say the consistency part that Carlene speaks to does make a lot of sense, because not only do you have the very same people doing the appraisal work, we've got the same person doing the entering. So basically, all of our township and village parcels will have consistency all the way through, which I think down the road, will, as you do additions and new permits, you're going to have a really good basis.
And I do want to add, there were a lot of phone calls before the Board of Review, but hardly anybody came in. So to me, that was an indicator of them saying that, you know, it looks, and there were some angry people too, but after
really?
I showed them their record card and went through it with them, they were like, yeah, you're right. So
it's hard to argue with a building that never was taxed, that got added to your tax bill that is present, and it's very visible.
Is there any indication that these people are not going to be available for the final phase?
No, there isn't, but they...
Do you have a contract with them?
We do, yes.
But it did not include these other 100. That's why I'm coming back to the board, because I want to make sure that everybody's understanding that we didn't go over the contract. We are going to go over it, but it's because of these other 100 parcels.
And there was a 2-year commitment to finish with the consistent data.
And actually, you know, when we were talking, we'd kind of indicated to Mike all along that if, you know, he had extra time, because we were kind of pushing him to do more. It really comes down to budget of what we'd budgeted. And Mike, we went back and he looked at that, and we'll be covered for a few more parcels. And I'd just like to wrap it up if we can next year, because that means we'll have board review through next year to answer to the whatever. So we have 2 more board reviews probably to deal with the new reappraisal stuff.
And our AMAR for Elk Rapids is next year too. Yeah. So it would be at the close of the board of review next year.
Yeah, we'd have everything. It should all be entered by the AMAR, correct? Or close?
Well, it depends on if they were to come back in the fall and complete the rest. Yes.
Okay. But we wouldn't have the last final from spring then,
correct.
I guess.
And I know that, I don't mean to interrupt you, I know that a lot of people are enjoying being able to go out onto our website to see all the data. As the data comes in, the pictures are uploaded into the website and the information. So real estate agents, accountants that are doing taxes, they have all that information. There's just one missing link that we've encountered. Is for village properties. If I were to search for on the township website for my house, I would be able to see all the pictures, I would be able to see the sketch, I would be able to see the assessment data, I'd be able to see the township tax data, but I'm not able to view the village tax data. So that's kind of a little...
Why can't we see the village?
We're on 2 separate servers. So what would have to happen is the village, to complete it, a search, the village would have to get their tax information online. So we could go, when we go into the township website, we could click on that link to go to the village tax website to view the village taxes. So that's just one little...
Is the village tax not online, or is it on a different server?
They use a different general ledger package than you do, Dick, and BSNA wanted them to be separate from ours, and I've talked with Mr. Cooper yesterday, and he's working on getting this system.
Oh, good.
They're on, so he's in contact with BSNA.
Good.
And their treasurer, so they're working on it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Because our board's goal has been always to get all the parcels up so they're accessible, because for some years we've taken a little poke from other areas that are, and we weren't, but I didn't realize the village wasn't accessible. Yeah. Through our process, so.
Yeah, the phone calls have dropped off immensely to me about tax information.
Well, my goal is that you have no phone calls. It's all self-answered.
Well, then you don't need me then.
Makes your job a little easier, Mike. But is there any other questions for Carlene? But everybody understands what I'm asking for today on the extra 100 parcels. I'd entertain a motion on that, if
I'll
possible.
I'll make the motion to add 100. Non-taxable parcels.
Do we have support?
Support.
And just from memory, correct me again, Carlene, but it's $25 a parcel. Is that correct?
I have not. I think so.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah. I hate to say it, but I'm pretty sure that's it, but I'm going from memory. But it'll be an extension of the contract we have at the same rate. And I didn't look at it. But we probably better have a roll call vote on that, please.
Can I, just for the motion to make sure that I've got what you want on there, I just put to add additional non-taxable parcels as part of the existing contract.
Sounds yes. Good.
Is that clear enough? Okay. Roll call vote. Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Hultz?
Yes.
Motion carries. Is there anything else, Carlene? Any other new?
No, we just have one MTT appeal through the March Board of Review, a petitioner that came in, and that's it.
Okay.
What is MTT?
Oh, I'm sorry, Michigan Tax Tribunal. So when somebody comes into the March Board of Review and they're not happy with their decision, they have the opportunity to go a step further to the tribunal.
Is there anything new? I know last year, the assessing deal, as far as some changes from the state, is there anything that you're seeing there of recent?
Yes, it's going to go into effect 2025, I think it was. I just received a state tax commission bulletin. The changes are nothing like they were proposing, so.
Basically, we'll still keep
You can still
our status.
Keep your, yes.
I know there's some training requirements of our Board of Review. Is that what we'll feel mostly, or is there something else?
Yeah, I need to print that out and go through it, so just trying to catch up with Mike. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks, Carlene. Yeah. We'll move on to Maple Grove Cemetery. We have Aaron Ordem here from Performance. Give us a little update.
Yeah, so we gave you a kind of a draft outline of what we're looking at for the presentation part of the Maple Grove Cemetery millage project there. What we're talking about doing is basically using the spreadsheet budget items that we put together, have the scope of work, the associated costs, and then a couple slides that depict that work and what the improvements would be. So we've kind of, as you may recall, in the scope of the project, we subdivided out into a like mapping and records portion. So we've got like some depiction of your existing records, and then we'll add a couple in there where we're going with that. The irrigation category, where here it's a little difficult to depict what the irrigation looks like. You know, it's just kind of the coverage area and the amount of heads and that type of stuff that's in there that people could correlate back to the scope of the project. Landscaping and restoration. Here's where we're proposing to use some of the aerial imagery that the drones flew there, which turned out really awesome. We'll have some of that, and then we'll have some pictures of kind of the problem areas in the cemetery that we're looking to address. You know, some of these like either the tilted headstones or the, you know, the hummocks in the ground and that type of stuff. We've got the GIS and database management, where here's more kind of the aerial and, you know, the little pin drops that people are used to seeing when you have a GPS point on your phone, that type of stuff. And then the columbarium area, we put one in there that's a the cost basis for the columbarium is the cremation remains. So we put one in there that's kind of a, you know, I don't want to call it plain Jane, it's nice. What we thought would be kind of on a scale that's not elaborate, but it's still a nice high quality structure that's through a system where it's supported. So if you add on, you know that this product line would be supported down the road. You could get the same stone facing to add sections to it. So the pricing correlates to kind of images of what they're, what's available in that. And then kind of the final end of that is the financial end of it, where we talk about how it's budgeted, financed, and all put together in there. So unless there's other ways you want information presented, or if you want to add or delete items out of here, this is kind of where we're at and where we're going to wrap it up, unless you guys want to, you know, change something up.
A question, I know you've just hit it a little bit, but when we're going through this, we're going to explain the line items, basically, well, the funding for each, the expenses, you know. In doing so, you really haven't had any bids yet, correct? Other than just your...
Right. So we've worked with Scott at 365 there on the irrigation end of it, and then we've used our own information to look at, like, an alternate source of water and different way that these sites could be watered. So we've got that comparison in there. We've got budgetary quotes for like columbarium type stuff. But then a lot of this is pricing information that we use from historic projects. You know, we know how much a load of topsoil delivered costs. So, you know, some of these types of things are just our own pricing history that we have in the budget.
I just want to remind the board that these are not, I'm sure, Dick, you understand, steadfast numbers, because as much as I'd say they could go up a little here and there or go down, but I mean, am I correct in saying that?
Yes, yes.
But it's just a really good estimate to go from.
Right, and really, from my point of view, the main goal here was to make sure that if you go to the public and say, for this amount of mills generating this kind of revenue, this is how we're going to spend it. You know, and if it scales back or up, depending on, you know, taxable values, increase, decrease, whatever happens over this 10-year period, we're confident that this scope of project can be done. How it looks at the end of 10 years might shift a little here or there, but we can accomplish all of these items for that 0.6 mills.
You know, we looked at it, and the things that, of course, come to mind, at least with me, was the balancing of the ground. I mean, you've got a lot of areas with a lot of indentations, you know, the headstones. Obviously, we don't have any black dirt there, because it's basically sand and weeds. You know, in some areas, maybe it's a little better than others, but basically, we're kind of going in and restarting the grass work. We've got trees that need to come out, shrubbery, and then we also probably need to talk about the ordinance to manage going forward at some point what's going to be allowable in the cemetery so we keep control of it if this would happen. And I mean, it's pretty basic maintenance that we need to do, with the exception they've asked for irrigation, which if we want to have any type of grass exist on an inch of black dirt, we're going to have water. I mean, if our goal is to really have some grass and, you know, kind of a green effect, we're going to need to do that. You know, without the water added, would you recommend doing the black work, dirt, and everything else? Because I just don't see how it would work.
No, I think, like you said, you know, a typical restoration project that we would do in a lawn type situation for a homeowner, we're going to go at least 3 inches of topsoil in there, so that you have some nutrients and stuff to grow grass. Here we're talking about, you know, a skim, basically an inch to support this grass with watering. Part of the thinking on that is it gets disturbed, you know, you have new sites open, you have things going on. You don't want to put a ton of money into the black dirt because you could spend a fortune out there on it. I mean, when you look at the number to just do the inch, it's significant. So,
well, the other thing is
bang for the buck that we
can do. Irrigation, it isn't like, explain a little bit, that's, you're using big heads, shooting big areas versus like a lawn type.
Right, that's the idea, is that setting it up into zones so you get a lot of coverage per head, but you need a high volume of water to be able to accomplish that. So that's where you're trying to find the balance between number of heads, your water supply, all these costs kind of play out.
Does the board have any other questions about, does the board want to see something different than what they're proposing?
I walked from one side to the other a couple days ago. It is an interesting problem. You've got grade changes that are 18 to 24 inches. There's raised plats, there's gullies, there's headstones tipped over. I'm surprised that you've produce this budget. It's very, very meager, I would think. And I would think you're probably going to do it in phases, right? Because there's certain areas that are worse than others. How they mow it is beyond me. It's like, it's almost cratered. And there's some very big failure points there. Trees growing over the top of graves, and oh my goodness, yeah. I didn't realize how bad it was until I walked through it.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's a big cemetery. From the road, you don't get a real perspective. No. Just driving down there, how big it is. It's a big site.
Yeah, and I mean, we just haven't had the funding mechanism to fund it properly, nor will we have going forward without this. That's my biggest fear, is it isn't going to get any better based on we collect 0.966 of a mill, and we really don't have a line item to address the cemetery the way it needs to be addressed.
I think we should campaign or publicize the residents of the township that are going to vote on this should go look at it. Once you look at it, I mean, there's no question of the need. But I don't have any relatives there, so I never even had walked on the dirt. So if we can get people to walk on the dirt, it'll certainly help the, you know, the ballot box.
Oh, yes, and a perpetual care will not maintain it. I mean, we just get a dollar a site.
The dollar a site.
And that's what I think a lot of folks, you know, me included, until we looked into it, I thought, well, gosh, perpetual care will take care of everything. Well, dollar a site, and, you know, when it was set up years and years ago, you know, they didn't look ahead probably 50 years, and it, inflation caught us. So, I mean, I would encourage anyone to go out and look.
Yeah, I'd say from my perspective, too, I find it hard to believe Scott's making much money taking care of these grounds for you. I suspect this is some sort of, like, almost community service type thing he's doing, and I wouldn't count on that forever either. It would be hard to keep doing what he's doing. He's got to have a lot of time in that.
Could we consider putting some kind of notice in the local paper that the township board encourages residents to go to the cemetery and view it in lieu of the proposal going on the ballot?
Well, June 26th, we have an open hearing or meeting on the cemetery, and I would suggest at that point we try to bring that up clearly, that people would, I think, be really good if they'd visit, but that's going to be kind of our thrust in June on the 26th to get that across. And I mean, I understand. I mean, I've talked to folks who don't have ownership out there or relatives, and, you know, it's going to be hard to understand. Now, we do have a lot of veterans out there as well. I think well over 400 veterans, Shelley. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of an important thing that some folks might, you know, feel like supporting. And I think that's important. But I, you know, it's a lot of money. I realize that to do this, but it's a big parcel. I think that's the big thing. When we had it flown, it really shows even in your pictures here. It's a massive piece of property.
Yeah. Just to remind you, that meeting's at 4:00 on the 26th, and it's here in this building.
Correct. Is there anything further on the cemetery? Okay, we'll move on. Farmland and open space, millage, 1 mil for 10 years. I have not heard anything further from anyone involved with that, but Bill Derman may have. I know Bill was going to call.
Yes. I left a message with Laura last Friday, and then she called me back yesterday, and I asked her if she was going to be at the meeting, both at Milton and in Elk Rapids. She said she's not. She had other obligations. But she has made presentations to the Elk Rapids Village Planning Commission. She plans to go to the July Village Council meeting. She's made presentations to Green ER and others, meaning Lakes Associations and other key community groups. There will be a mailing going out to all residents in mid-June, about the same time as the absentee ballots are being forwarded to the voters. A friends group is going to deal with registered voters only. They're going to send postcards. First mailing will go mid-June to absentee voters. The second mailing will go mid-July to early August to cover all the other registered voters. And she will have extra mailing materials to be used as handouts so we can have them at the township hall and so forth.
Was there any mention of an informational meeting?
Nope.
Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, we'll move on. Township sewer, Maple Harbor Road Drain. We've got some bids here from Matt's. Obviously, Performance Engineering's been working with the county. The county is offered to help fix this problem. So I guess, Aaron, I'm going to, obviously we've had complaints about our drainage from the new roadway. I'm going to turn this over to Matt at this point, or excuse me, to Aaron to give us a little more information on.
Sure. So this really centers around the dry well that you know, this was the low point of the road before, and we've kind of pronounced the amount of water that's come into there by putting the tip-up curb and not letting it go off into the lawns. And so one of the unfortunate, unforeseen circumstances here is that, especially while the site's been pretty raw, we've taken a lot of sediment into there, and it plugs it off, the structure backs up, floods out into the road surface and the surrounding yards. So what we're looking at is installing basically a 4-inch overflow pipe high up in the structure, so that if the structure fills up and exceeds the infiltration capacity, or, you know, it's almost due to be cleaned out, instead of backing up into the road system and take this overflow pipe that would route it down to a road end and discharge down there. By doing this, we keep it all in the right of way. It ends up at the road end, which BERT has jurisdiction on. So it kind of takes it away from a homeowner problem and puts it back to the county to be able to take care of this and maintain it going forward. So we've been talking about this for a while. BERT had initially gotten pricing. We ended up finding another contractor to look at it who can install the 4-inch drain pipe there for about $9,760. He also priced a 6-inch option. The discussion with BERT was about a 6-inch pipe initially, and that's another almost $3,000 if you want to upsize it to a 6. We've kind of ran through the analysis, and a 50-year storm event is passed through the 4-inch pipe. You know, if you go with like a 100-year storm, it might come up in the structure, but our feeling is that even if it comes up, it's going to drain right back down when it stops raining, because you've got this positive relief to it. And, you know, there's, you can make the argument the 6-inch is easier to maintain, but the 4-inch is also more of, you know, also somewhat of a balance between using this structure as stormwater treatment too, because you want to infiltrate as much as you can. You don't just want to pass the water out to the lake. This is one of the concerns in the neighborhood also. So this is what we're recommending, is the 4-inch overflow. We've talked about it with BERT. I don't think he's resistant to it necessarily, but he did prefer the 6-inch pipe.
So he'd asked us for an option. Obviously, it's going to fall under the road commission. We're going to end up, we've got some contingency money left from the sewer project, and we'll have to use some road fund money to do this. But I believe it's a fix. BERT's comfortable with it, and certainly Performance is comfortable with it. And with that being said, this is only for the pipe boring that we'll be funding, because BERT's going to take care of all the asphalt work and the discharge area, whatever he has to do on his road ends. So he'll be managing that part of it. So basically, and correct me where I'm wrong, but Matt's just boring the pipe for the county, and we'll be participating in that. So in a sense, it's still a contribution from the county on a total job.
Right. Matt will tie it into the structure too.
Yes. And some of the problem, I believe, from listening to all sides, BERT, Aaron, and Brad, is, I don't know if you picked up on what Aaron said, but along the road, they curbed it versus what we had there before, with holes kind of in the road and a crown surface. So I believe, from what I've heard, that certainly we fixed some other problems along the way, but we did create a problem with the water coming down the roadway, because I would guess that most homes were probably having water issues from the runoff into their home, where now I believe we've probably corrected that problem to some extent.
For everybody except for two houses. So we kind of took the problem that was spread out throughout the road and centered it now. So
yeah. So now we've got to do the correction for the two homes. So I am hopeful to get this done before the 4th of July holiday, is what we've been pushing for. But I just want to make sure, we're going to have to ask the board for their approval. But I would like to move forward with this so that Aaron can go on to BERT and say that we can help fund this project.
What is BERT's, why does he want a 6-inch? What are the reasons there?
Well, I think somewhat a bigger is better type mentality. You know, if you ever had to clean the pipe, a bigger pipe's a little easier to, you know, push something through. But The concern from the driller with going with a bigger pipe is we're pretty shallow because we want this to stay up in the structure. It's kind of an overflow idea. The hope is that the majority of rainfall is just infiltrate. You know, we only have this issue during really heavy rain events. So it's a shallow bore, and the bigger we make the reamer, because the reamer is upsized from the actual pipe, he's a little worried that being shallow, we've got the potential to have like a bleed out from the drilling fluid, the drilling muds, you know, heaving one of these new driveways or something. So the physical construction of the larger pipe is a little more risk. And I think that's what's reflected in this $3,000, in my opinion. It's not the cost in upsizing the pipe. The pipe isn't that much cost difference. It's because he's worried that he's going to damage something along the route drilling the bigger pipe.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty good size upcharge to go from 4 to 6.
I think it's risk involved. Yeah, it's not materials really.
Any further questions? Excuse me?
Can I just ask a question on the Maple Harbor? This is Maple Harbor, right?
Yes.
My name is Mary Mikola. I'm at 7429 Terrace Avenue in the middle of that. It still is flooding, which apparently you're aware of. It flooded yesterday, and it wasn't that hard of a rain, but it sounds like it's going to be taken care of, and it's not going to be, the water's not going to be going back into the lake. Is that correct?
We're going to put a pipe to a road in, and Albert manages it from there. It's all under Bert's. We're building this to Bert's spec.
Okay.
Meaning Bert Thompson from the county.
The road commission?
Yes.
Okay. Because yes. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just wanting to make sure it gets
It really comes down to is a road commission project.
Right.
But we're like the asphalt we provided, we're stuck paying for a lot of it.
Right. I know. I was so excited for this to happen, and then this is what happened. But okay. I just wanted to. You know, because it's been a year, but it will probably get fixed this summer, you think?
Well, as I said, we're hoping to do something prior to the 4th of July of 2019, so I'm really hopeful. But I know everybody's really busy, and
I get it.
We're trying to get it fixed.
Yeah, I get it. I just wanted to try to clarify. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Is there any further questions? I'd entertain a motion on this.
What are we?
4 or 6?
Well, what I would ask for is not to exceed $13,000, but let's hope that we can get Bert to go for the 4-inch. Does that make sense to you, Aaron?
It does, yeah.
Is he accepted 4 or 6 or just prefers 6?
We proposed the 4 and he just asked some questions back. We sent him the stormwater calculations and we haven't heard a final determination from him, so
he's kind of waiting on us to make sure we're going to fund this is really what it comes down to.
And so we just got the contractor pricing yesterday on the 2 options, so it's still kind of
fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh, right?
So after the sediment, the runoff we're getting from that, we shouldn't even need this, right? I mean,
there is you know, sediment that comes off the roadway naturally, just picked up from tires and dust and whatever. So an infiltration basin dry well like this will need maintenance over time. So Bert will be maintaining this structure over time. His concern now is it's too frequent. And that's what the overflow pipe is about, really relieving that.
The frequency, though, it has to do with the construction that just took place. Isn't that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, the frequency is related to the construction, right?
Well, if everything seeds in, Aaron, to your point, I think it'll change the frequency, but it's still the size of the, correct me where I'm wrong, but it's the overall size of the sediment area and the time value.
Pipe size is going to have nothing to do with the frequency of maintenance of the well.
No, but as he'll have to, but the head of water that we're addressing, there'll be some times when you have these large rains when it won't pass through fast enough, so we'll have to go to the overflow system. it's basically an overflow.
Right, but the lesser diameter pipe will create a bigger head, which would create a better cleaning process for the pipe.
Well, exactly, and not to steal your thunder, but Brad did share with me yesterday, he didn't use any head pressure on his calculations.
Correct.
Which right. will change the dynamics right. quite a bit. Kind of in the middle on that one, but
you guys just went way over my head, awesome. So when you make your motion, please
sort of civil engineering 101 here.
I think the 4-inch makes a lot of sense in that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it,
we're going to push for that. Trust me.
Just from a keeping the idea of what this is for.
Yep.
I mean, a 4-inch makes a lot of sense.
I believe it's all. Well, I'm going off what they're telling us, and that certainly. Seems reasonable to me. And just so you know, Bert didn't say no. He just wanted to know, because his one comment to me was, we can run a pig through a 6-inch easier than a 4-inch. So, I mean, and I understand that for clean out purposes. I think that's his big thing. He wants ease of, and especially if we get to pay for it, he wants it to be easiest he can get.
If he maintains his drywall, he doesn't won't have the problem.
Pardon me?
If he maintains the drywall, he won't have the problem. So
correct.
It's
well, and to what Aaron's saying, he's absolutely right. The sediment should slow down as we get growth. I mean, and that'll help too.
Right.
You still have the volume that they didn't have before.
Yes.
And you can only put so much.
It'll only filter water through so
into,
fast.
Yeah. So.
That's because the road got paved.
Well, we have a source now.
It's straight going down. It's not being sucked in as it goes down.
Yeah.
The old road.
So are we going to make a motion for the 4-inch?
I would ask that you make the motion not to exceed 13, and we will shoot $13,000, and we will try to go for the 4-inch. I don't want to have to come back, because I'd like to get this.
Okay. I'll make a motion not to exceed whatever it is, 13,000, whatever it adds up to.
With the focus being on getting 4-inch.
Yes, for a 4-inch pipe.
But please tell me what the motion is for, not to exceed $13,000 to do.
To install X number of feet per the drawing that was produced, drawing number 17493, dated 5/17/19.
Say what? I'm sorry.
There's a drawing that indicates the scope of work. There's a drawing that refers to the scope of work that he's talking about.
That's not in front of you, right?
No, it's not in front of me.
Right,
that's why it's referred.
Look at the line in the bid.
Yeah, right here, the scope of work.
Engineering drawing, number 17-4932.
Otherwise, we don't know what we're
right.
approving.
Yeah. Do we have support?
I'll support.
Okay, we've got support. And what I would ask is, Aaron, if it's possible, you could have that. And if you want me to be in on it, it's great, but I would be glad to. But I'd like to try to get Bert going so you can wrap it up.
Yeah, my understanding is that Bert has some administrative authority for pricing that's under $15,000. He's got a simplified process that he can do this administratively on his own. So it should be relatively quick.
So phone call, yes, will work.
Yes, right.
That would work. We ought to have a roll call vote when you're ready, Shelley. No hurry.
Okay, roll call, Shemansky?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Haltz?
Yes.
Eisenhower?
Yes.
Motion carries. We'll move on to Township Park. We have a quick claim deed that Matt and Bill Derman have been working on to be signed and sent back. And I'm gonna turn it over to Bill at this point just for a quick explanation. But basically it's been what we've been talking about. And to my knowledge, we haven't heard anything back to the opposite that they have made up their mind what they're doing or what not they're doing, whatever it is. So by this quit claim going back to them, the heirs will be owner of, we've given back the gift in a sense. We never owned the property. We had a gift of utilizing the property given the requirements they'd asked. We've asked them to remove the requirements. They aren't sure if they want to or not. They talked about going to Grand Traverse Land Conservancy, even to the Tart Trail Group and others to give the property to. We're not sure what they're doing, so in any case, we're going to end up giving the property back. And by Matt Zimmerman's legal advice is, even if they were to grant the release of all these other requirements, that we do need to, it would be still in our interest to get a clean deed as well back that way. So what I'm asking for is that we move forward with this, as we'd voted on it already, but I just want to run this by everyone so everyone understands where we are. But I'll let Bill add to what I've probably missed.
There's nothing to add to that. He stated the issue correctly. Township Board back, I think in December, was discussing this, that you own the property subject to the conditions spelled out in the deed and the court case. The court case said these five owners were the owner of the property subject to the right of township to build a park. Every time the township decided to put plans out or had any communication, there was the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the heirs, that's what some of these are, of the minor Wilcox who gave the property to the township subject to conditions. The court said these five owned it, and we could build a park on it. And we started building park, as you can see there, with the plans of the wall, and objection after objection was received by the township. Don't do this kind of park, do this kind, do this. We don't want to encumber the township future generations, or you even, and having the heirs come back and say, no, we don't want that. So in order to get a clean deed, we ask them, give us a clean deed. Release your interest in the property. And they didn't officially decline, but they said they were going to check with others. They did check. I talked with the Conservancy, because the Conservancy owns several other parcels that were donated from the Wilcox heirs family, including a big parcel in the bay where you see the walking trails and so forth. The Conservancy declined, didn't want any more. And the Conservancy told me that they had contacted Tart Trails for a trailhead, sort of. The trailhead, he explained, was going to be in the village probably for the Tart Trails, and they didn't want to have any more properties out there. They give them a suggestion of several other entities to contact. I've not heard anything more. I've got calls in to Camilla, is it?
Camilla. Or Kamala, I'm sorry.
And then she has not returned the call. Willard was apparently the one heading it out. He's been talking to others in the area, I've been told. So to bring this to a conclusion, and Matt recommended quickly be releasing our interest in the two parcels that have been cleaned up of lead and of tires, buried tires. It's all been cleaned. So those parcels are, in essence, to be deeded back to the five heirs, 20% each. That means the 10%, the tenants in common. That's what they're doing. But please note that the reserves on to the grantor, the township, a permanent sewer easement, as legally described in Exhibit B, that is the deemed farrier survey of the 30-foot wide easement, which goes across this property to the lift station, which has got to be pumped. Yeah, clean. Yeah. So this puts it back in their hands. We're conveying any and all division rights. We're also noticing per statute that it may be in the vicinity of farmland. This is a quitclaim deed. We're not guaranteeing title. So whatever title we have, we're going to convey back to the heirs pursuant to the court judgment.
The Conservancy give you a reason why they declined the land?
No. And they did not. The heirs thought that the Conservancy owned adjacent property. They do not own adjacent property. There's property owners in between. So again, this would be an isolated piece of property versus most of their other properties, especially on the west side of US 31, are all contiguous. They have one parcel, like, from memory, one parcel east of 31, and they didn't want any more.
Any other discussion? Well, I just wanted the board to know that this was happening. Bill will get it signed off, and then Matt was going to send it out. Any further discussion? Okay.
Nope.
We'll move on. Acme to Charlevoix Trail update. I don't have anything new to add, but maybe do you, Shelley?
No, the trail people were going to go to the village with a plan, and that was postponed till later in this month, so there's really been no action as far as the design.
They're supposed to be the village on the 17th.
The meeting?
Yes. Okay. At their council meeting.
Okay. Is there anything further on bicycle path? Okay, we'll move on to attorney's report.
Attorney's report for June. The Antrim County events for May were 61, which is about two over last year. Farmland, I've already reported on that, what Laura is doing and plans to do in the future, is the mailings. I will follow up to get copies of whatever they're sending out, so we'll have it for our records. Wilcox Park, we've already talked about that and authorized in the past. The deed, the proposed deed, is in your files. Meeting filed today. I will have the township supervisor and clerk sign it after the meeting and arrange to forward the same to them. Planning Commission has a meeting tonight, 6:30 p.m., public hearing on site plans review. Two of them are pending. One's a farm market, and one is a alteration within the 25-foot area from the water to the 25-foot mark. Nothing on Hayden, nothing new on Frank Mighty's. You've heard the Herther report. ZBA has two variance requests. That meeting is scheduled today also at 3 p.m. The Planning Commission is at 6:30 p.m. I didn't state it. Elk Rapids Sewer, it's on the agenda. I don't believe there's, I think the only thing left to do is potentially clean that left lift station at the club.
Yeah, that last stretch of pipe in the lift station.
Where there's manholes there too. They've solved the valve situation. Maple Harbor Sewer, Maple Harbor Road Extension, excuse me, that is, we've already handled that with the 4 to 6 inch drain, four being the preferable drain. The Inwood Harbor Sewer Extension, there is a meeting scheduled for June 27th, 19th, back up. When I do sewer extension, I'm going to do, there's agreements with the village pending to add the units that Milton Township wants to extend from Williams Road to the Oasis. There's a meeting next week, I believe, with the engineers and Matt Zimmerman and with Bill Cooper and their engineers. To date, they have not been able to get an agreement.
Bill, I want to correct you on that. We are having a meeting, but it's going to be on our operations.
No,
we're not going to be talking about the Milton unless I'm not aware of that. It's just basically our operations and where we as the township, how that whole project, what we're being charged and how it shows and the
the maintenance.
Well, I think Matt and Brad Muma expect to talk about that also, because they have not heard back from the village.
No, they may bring it up, but the real driver on this meeting is to figure out where we are and how we bring on Maple Harbor, and if they are going to maintain that, and what our position's going to be in that.
And the reason I say that on that extension is because Milton Township is out for bids for that project. They're going to be opening the bids June 27th at 11 a.m. at the Township Hall. So they'll have whether their cost figures are correct or not, and they'll be stopped if they don't have an agreement with the village.
And Aaron, I'll defer to you, but is there an agreement pending?
Yeah, I think Bill and Matt Zimmerman have been discussing with Bill Cooper. And
I know there's been some question about the benefit charge and all that, but I didn't realize, I don't know, Bill getting...
I have no idea. I have not been privy to that meeting. I just know there was the benefit charge or the connect per connect fee. They were arguing or discussing that they should be the same as what Maple Harbor was on this thing. And the first proposal was, and I don't even know what it was, but I know the village and Cooper put it way up here, and Maple Harbor was down here. Now, I don't know if they've come together or not.
I'm not aware.
There appears to be room in the system, but I just don't know where they're heading. Medical marijuana and recreational marijuana and hemp, I have nothing new to report on. They're all still status quo. This thing, they're still setting rules, and they have not taken any applications yet for the recreational, for the facilities yet at the state of Michigan level. As indicated already, Maple Grove Cemetery, it's on the ballot for 0.6 mil for 10 years, but there will be a general informational special meeting held Wednesday, June 26th, 4 p.m. in this building. And I think Aaron took a note and I took a note. We will encourage those attending and everybody to go out and visit the cemetery. And even if we can get the veterans to do something. Short-term rentals, nothing new. It's still all legislation still pending at the state level. Local assessing reform, you've heard Carlene speak on that this morning. There is she had a date that I didn't know about before, because I assumed all the assessing per the statute, I thought they had a year to set the rules, and then after that the assessing were subject to audit if they're complying with the new state law on or after December 2021, so they're still subject to audit after that to make sure they're conforming with the rules. If you get the MTA magazine, you will find a whole article towards the end of it is what townships should look for and ask questions of their assessor. And Dorrance was right when he indicated that the Board of Review, there will be new educational requirements for all boards of review. I think ours is pretty well set.
We have two certified Board of Review members now, but we're going to have an update for the others as well.
Not necessarily certified, but you'll have to have some additional educations. Yeah. I have talked to other township supervisors and zoning administrators, and they're wary that they feel there'll be changes on the Board of Review, because some of the people on some of the rural boards of review they know what's right, and they don't need any education.
It's my understanding that we can get the training online, and what our hope is, and I wish Carlene was here, but I hate to speak for her, but we're going to try to have an educational meeting here with our Board of Review, because there's an update that everyone has to do every year. I think it's either a couple hours of training, but I think, I don't know if she talked to you about it, Shelley, but I believe we can do it here online and bring our Board of Review in at a set time and go through it, and of course Carlene would be there. So
would it be on the big screen so that what you're aiming for, or?
You know, I don't really know.
Because I would suggest, let your joining townships know. You might get a good crowd here.
We know that we, to your point, Bill, some of our Board of Review members don't want to travel, so we're hopeful to do it in-house here, so that's our goal, hopefully late August.
Tremendous. Pending ballot proposals, I know everybody's aware of it, but you got, on the August 6th election, you've got a farmland preservation millage, 1 mil, 10 years, and you got a cemetery millage, 0.6 mil for 10 years. In MMR, we have, our contract expires with them December 2019, just on my checklist. Tart Trail, you've already heard about. The final plans are not in yet to the village. I think that's all I have for now.
Okay, we'll move on to announcements. I've got one letter from the Antrim County Road Commission talking about road brining. Obviously, they don't have the oil field road brine from the wells. The well that they were getting their brine from is closed in, so if we're going to do any road brining more than one time, they're going to do the first time through their budgeting. The second time, we would have to buy the brine. They would provide the equipment. We have, I hate to say this, but I think it's a half a mile or less of gravel road in our township, so I'm not too concerned about that. I haven't even really talked to Bert. I will on that, but I'm not sure when they're going to do the dust control on that road. Obviously, with the rains, we probably haven't had a lot of pressure. The other thing is Clearwater Point Road was finished last week, I believe. I drove it, and it was it's a very nice improvement. If anybody wants to see, if they've been down it, it was pretty tore up, so I'm glad that's done. We haven't received the bill yet. Mike will be getting that, I'm sure, in the next 60 days. But that was a project that was left over from 2018. Due to the union shutout, they weren't able to complete. Reith and Riley did it, and they did honor the pricing from last year. So that's done. We haven't started the other projects that we've got, Timber Lake and Winters. So that'll be coming. And I guess I do have a question for Dick on library. Is there any update on, I know you guys are meeting over there.
Yeah, there's a library board meeting this coming Thursday at 5 o'clock. I have undertaken to help the library qualify the fact of using the existing structure and doing the geotech borings to verify whether they can add footings and foundation as they're proposing. And the other question that nobody's really addressed, at least as far as I can tell today, is the parking requirement under the International Commercial Code, which Antrim County will review the site plan under. And there's a minimum requirement for parking based on the square footage and the use classification. I spoke with the Antrim County building. They are very non-committal because he doesn't have anything to look at, but we are trying to qualify through the architects, and Barb Johnson, the chairman of the library board, is just released me to talk directly to the architects that they have hired, so hopefully I'll get a qualification on parking. Where this is all going is they're in the process of starting their fundraising. Hopefully they're fundraising for a project that's buildable. And the question I pose is, until you get the environmental, the geotech, and the parking qualified, you may not have a project.
Now, on the environmental, do you have to work with the village on that at all, or is that something?
Bill Cooper's agreed to pay up to $2,000 for an environmental core check when we do the geotech drilling.
Okay.
So it's sort of like I was talking to Aaron, sort of a half of an environmental, too, or a at least looking for any contaminants that may exist in that backfill that's probably been there for 150, 140 years. Nobody knows what's in that little hill over there.
Is there any timeline on what the project looks like?
I'm the junior new board member. I don't know. I think the condition of the library board for the granting by the village is that the funding has to be in place before they'll actually physically start working on the construction drawings and moving forward with the project.
So they really haven't done any bidding or anything like that as well?
Oh, no, they don't have anything to bid on. They're doing a what I would call a pretty picture presentation, a graphic, and a video to go out and start campaigning for funds.
Well, don't they have drawings? I mean, I'm assuming from the building, I've just seen, were those full?
They have conceptual drawings, but no actual footprint drawings that have come off a CAD design system.
So there really isn't any numbers with it. I mean, it's just conceptual. I mean, it's
conceptual and estimates per square foot on what it'll cost to renovate the existing structure and move and build new. That's okay. Basically, they're working off very loosely put together numbers.
Okay. Board, have any further questions for Dick on library? Is there any other announcements from the board?
I just want to reinforce, and I don't think I said it, that there will be a public meeting, informational meeting on Inwood Harbor.
Well, it'll be an all-over sewer meeting for the whole region. Inwood,
Tuesday,
Bay Shore Drive, and all the way down to the village, because we really haven't picked a point on that. You know, now that you brought that up, Bill, it does bring up something else I wanted to ask Aaron. Did you get in water samples yet on, I know you were pulling water samples out of the Inwood Harbor area.
Yeah, so we have got the first two rounds done. And the first round was done, and it looks like there are some E. coli standards that are in excess of what the DEQ recommends for beach closures. But the mouth has been dredged open. And so samples that have been collected after that have been significantly less. So usually what happens for like a health department monitoring a beach is it's kind of an average of sampling that goes into it when they determine whether or not to, you know, close a beach because it's not safe for swimming. Probably it appears to me anyways at this stage, it's probably trending that the levels will be less since it's been dredged and opened up. But the nice thing we have is we've got some baseline to make some comparisons about what's going on because we sampled at the Birch Lake outlet, which we know is almost zero, is almost non-detected.
Now that's the water coming into the channel from the Birch Lake
correct,
area.
Which that was one concern from residents in that area was that some of this problem is passed through. So we're sampling at that point to make sure we know what's coming in.
So there's nothing coming into the channel?
Yeah, in the first two, one was non-detected and the other was two colonies per milliliter. So okay. Pretty low.
So way below any issue.
Right. But then we're sampling at the south end, the launch, the harbor mouth, and East Harbor Drive. So we're just trying to get a view of what's going on through that whole area. And it looks like anyways, we'll see how the next three come back, but it looks like a big difference between before dredging and after dredging. So we'll see how that all.
What you're really saying is the water wasn't flowing into the bay when you took the first set of samples.
Correct.
And they were considerably higher?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We got one at the launch, it was 435, which the beach standard is 130. So then that dropped, once they did the dredging, down to 42. So a factor of 10. So it's a pretty, I mean, we'll see how it all plays out, but it looks like a pretty good indicator that opening the mouth and letting the water go out into the lake is going to relieve some of this, some of what we could demonstrate through analytical data, right?
Correct.
So
it's very clear then, once it opened up, it's kind of like, the solution to pollution, or the dilution,
yes,
is the part.
Right. Exactly.
You've got a place to dump it out.
Right. It's moving on downstream.
Will you have another? I know you've got a third-party company doing this, and this is what they do.
Yeah, we use SOS Analytical out of Traverse City. They do beach monitoring for the health department directly, so they're aware of the process. I mean, there are standards for how the samples are pulled and all that kind of stuff. So they're keyed in on what those requirements are, so we'll let them handle it. And Brad met with them. They went through a plan for, you know, making sure we had baseline data and where we're drawing samples from. So they agreed on that the first time. They did the first round. And then subsequent rounds are at the same spots, but the only difference being that the dredging has been completed.
Well, the good news is we know the contaminants aren't coming in. They're produced from that channel.
Right, right. Looks like sewer has helped Birch Lake for sure.
Okay. The board have any other questions?
So just to clarify for the record, the contaminated polluted water has been dumped into East Bay.
Well, that's the way it looks. Yep.
Well, it makes a big difference if you open the mouth up and it can flow.
Yeah, it was never completely closed off.
Right, it was shallow, right.
But it was...
With the high water line, it wasn't completely closed off for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had some flow.
Okay.
You had some flow prior to the dredging, but, I mean, it was...
Minimal.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the bay up about a foot or more?
At least.
At my dock, which, you know, probably nobody cares, but that water is that much higher.
Is it really?
So I had a floating dock with stairs going down, and that floating dock was sitting on dry ground when I moved in there in 2013. And that, yeah. So the stairs that I had going down there were underwater yesterday. So it's
up there.
It's 4 feet higher in the channel where I'm at.
Well, that's a lot.
It is. Yeah, where I rebuilt my dock, I mean, I put in stone behind it. I was working on your dry ground when I rebuilt all that. And you couldn't get underneath there. It's 4 to 5 feet higher. You're right there.
That meeting is June 19th, 4 p.m. here.
June 19th? No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Sewer meeting.
No, that's the cemetery, isn't it?
No, cemetery's the 26th.
No, I think the 29th.
No, the 29th. 26th is the cemetery, and the 19th, I thought, is what the minutes
That's
said.
What we decided last month.
Yeah.
You're right, Bill.
At least that's what I plugged into my calendar.
Yeah, I'll notify
the cemetery
them.
Meeting this after that.
Yeah, we have that on the 26th.
Right. Dorrance, I'll notify Keith.
I sent all this mailing out, and now I'm thinking, what
I'll
did
notify
I?
Keith. Apparently, they couldn't make it today. I'll notify him again of the proactive position they need to take in the support on that.
Yeah, we were asked by the public to take samples, so we've done that. The other issue that was brought to our attention that we had people that couldn't support it because of the noise effect coming from the village's sewer system. And I talked with Bill Cooper a couple weeks ago, and he assures me that's been remedied. I don't know if Trish wants to speak to that, but it's the noise issue was eliminated, and he said it was tested. So I'm anticipating we should have some more support because that was one thing holding up a group of folks as well. I think we've went out and done what we've been asked to do, and we'll return the results and see what the opinion is at that meeting. Is there anything further on that? And is there any other announcements? You got anything, Mike?
No.
Shelley?
No.
All right. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Each day is equal light tested.